Well, I want to preach for a little while this morning and from the book of Psalms and about this subject, getting glad at God's house. The book of Psalms, a large book in the Old Testament, and we're looking at Psalm 122. If you find your place in Psalm 122, we'll get started there. As you do find your place, I did hear this story about this preacher. He was driving along, went off the road, went into the ditch, but then kept on coming out of the ditch and went and eventually hit a telephone pole. And there's a fellow following him behind there, and he was worried. He walked up there. He ran up there, actually put his car in park, ran up there to check on this guy, and he got up there as the pastor. He said, "Well, pastor," he said, "wow." And he could tell that he was coherent, and he was talking to him. He said, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" He said, "Oh, yes, yes, yes." And he kind of pointed over to his seat, and he said, "Well, the angel of the Lord is riding with me." And so that guy, as soon as the pastor said that, he just turned right around, walked right back to his car, went to his passenger side. He opened up the door, and he came back down to the pastor, and the pastor looked and watched him the whole way. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, you said the angel of the Lord's riding with you." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to have him ride with me. You're about to kill him." So doesn't matter who you are. You got to be careful with that. So in Psalm 122, the Bible says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." We're going to stop reading there. We're going to kind of go through this whole psalm here in just a few moments, but we'll stop reading there. And I want to preach to you for a little while about this, getting glad at the house of God, or getting glad at God's house. This is a wonderful place to come. Now, this psalm here, it was sung, it was used, it was referencing when the people of God would go up to Jerusalem. They would go up there, and David is excited. He's the human author of it. He's excited about the opportunity to go worship the Lord. And he even anticipates his feet in verse number 2, being inside the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of their religious worship. It was the place where they came and they wanted to worship God and honor Him. It was the hub of their church, if you will. And David said, "Boy, I was just glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." He was doubly glad because in verse number 1, we see that he says, "I was glad. I'm the one. I was happy when they said that." But then he was glad for the sake of others as well, because he says, let us go up together. And this psalm talks about that time. It also prophesies the Jews in the millennial reign, they'll come back into Jerusalem, and they'll be there, of course. But I'd like to bring a message today about getting glad at God's house, and I feel like I want to be a cheerleader for church. Because I meet so many people who say, "Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't know about that organized religion. I love Jesus, I don't know about that church." Well, I do understand what they're saying, because there's been a lot of abuses in organized religion. I understand all that. I don't have a use for much of it myself. But if they're talking about people organizing as we did today, opening doors, organizing, planning a service, and singing, and coming together, and praying, and worshiping together, and bearing one another's burdens, and fellowshipping. If that's what we're meaning by organizing, then I love organized religion, because I love this organized way of us getting together so we can encourage one another. And by the way, we're going to have an ice cream social tonight, and that's given to you by organized religion. So for once, I'm for organized religion. And I understand what they mean. But I meet so many folks who say, "Oh yeah, Jesus, they're fine with Him, they love Him." But for once, I'd like to say, I want to applaud and I want to put forth what beautiful thing is happening right here, because here we are, by and large, a bunch of believers coming together, corporate worship, and giving glory to God, singing His praises, encouraging one another, shaking hands, and fellowshipping one another. And I'd like to preach for that just a little while. Father, be with us now is our prayer. I pray that you would get in all that goes on today, and I pray that, Lord, we'd get a new outlook on sometimes what we think about the church. Bless it, I pray, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I have people tell me, "Oh, preacher, soon as I get things straightened up, I'm going to come down to that house of God. I'm going to come down to the church house. Soon as I get some things back in line where I want them to be. I'm going to come down there and go to church with you. I like to tell each one of them, I don't want you to wait till you get things finished up. I don't want to wait till you get things straightened up. I don't want to wait till you get all things in order. I want you to come now. You see, there's always been, there are churches in several decades that have said, come as you are. Well, old-fashioned Bible-believing churches have always been churches that just say, come as you are. We just want you to come. I want you to be here. Spiritually, I don't want you to stay the same way that you came. I get that. But as far as churches saying, oh, come as you are, well, I want everybody to come in here. I want folks to come in whatever form, fashion they are, with broken marriages. And I want them to come with marriages that are rocky and kids that are rebellious and finances that are shaky. You say, well, I can't give when I get down there. God takes care of this place around here. I'm not so worried about that. I'd just love for you to come. If your house is foreclosed and their sickness has come to your house, whatever it is, I want you to come to the house of God, because this is a good place to get encouraged, and it's a good place to camaraderie, have it between once one and another. And the house of God is a wonderful place to be. I'd like to do a Bible study here through this psalm, if you would. The Bible says in verse number 1, we see the anxious worshiper. He's anxious in a good way. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In verse number 2, we see that he anticipates getting to God's house. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. He says, I can't wait to get there in your house. In verse number 3, we see that he's compacted together. They're unified. This city was compact. It was tight. It was no suburbs. They were on top of each other. But I believe it also shows that they were unified in one purpose, to seek the Lord. In verse number 4, we see that whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, we see that all different people came as one up to the house of the Lord. And may this church be the one that all kinds of people come. Some of you who've got your finances in order, and some of you can't find your finances. Some of you have got everything put together, and some of you had it put together, but you forgot where you put it after you got it together. It doesn't matter which you are. May all the tribes come together. In verse number 5, we see that for there are set thrones of judgment, and may judgment be true at the house of God. May we judge righteous judgment and say things that are correct from the word of God. In verse number 6, it talks about living peaceably. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because what they were seeing, that Jerusalem was indicative of how God was blessing their nation. And he said, oh, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, much like somebody might say in England, God save the king. But here they would say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they that shall prosper that love thee. And can I tell you that churches, when we're doing well, it's a benefit to the whole area. Look down in verse number 8, for my brethren, my companion's sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. He said, when Jerusalem straightened up, everybody else was a little more straight. And can I tell you this? When churches in across our land, when they were fervent, and when they were preaching the Bible, and when they were saying, thus saith the Lord, our society, our communities were a lot better, because you had some, maybe a leather lung preacher, or maybe some quiet, subdued preacher, but nonetheless, he was still preaching the message of the Word of God. Our communities were better for it. And we see here that in verse number 8, peace be with, or for my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within thee. Verse number 9, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And I think about that as I read it. Our church has been built to try to push forth and speak the good of the people that are around. I want to draw a few points from this psalm to think about this. If I could apply it from back in the Jerusalem and the temple, and now I come to the place where you and I are. We didn't live back then. But you're sitting in a wonderful place this morning. Isn't the only one? There's other wonderful places, but it was a wonderful place when they try to honor the Lord in their song and try to honor the Lord in their message. But I want you to see this first of all. In verse number 1, I see the personal emotion that's given by David, the psalmist. I was glad when they said. David got excited to see that glittering gold temple of the Lord. David got excited to see how God was blessing. David got excited when he got his feet inside the gates of that city because he said, this is a wonderful place. And I wonder about me. How do I get feeling on Sunday morning? Or how do I get feeling when church is coming? You understand the Old Testament, how they had the Sabbath, honor the Sabbath to keep it holy. And that Saturday was the day that the Jews would come together. And we don't worship a day. We don't hold one day above another like the Bible says we're not supposed to. But now in this age in which we live, the Resurrection Day celebration, that's what every Sunday is, a celebration of the resurrection. On the first day of the week, they came and found the tomb was empty. And so now in the New Testament, churches have moved that, shifted that through the Scriptures, as Paul was telling us, on the first day of the week. But we can still have that thought like the Jews did. Wow, I'm glad to get in on that day of Sabbath. I'm glad to get in. And we can say, I'm glad to get in on the Lord's Day. I'm glad to get in on that day when we come together as believers. I was thinking about this. I looked back through records and I looked, checked several websites. Back on February the 12th of 2023, here just a few months ago, thousands of fans gathered at the State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona for the Super Bowl. So I'm told by SportingNews.com, the average get-in price was $8,837. There's some a lot higher than that. There's a few a little lower than that. But the average price, about $8,800 to get in. Now listen, if you want to see next year's, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll give me the $8,837, here's what I'll do. I'll buy you a brand new big screen. I'll get somebody to come over to your house and install it. I'll give you all the chicken wings you can have, all the Coca-Cola you can drink, and we'll even bring people over and yell at you so you can feel like you're in a crowd. And then I'll take what I spent, I'll take the rest of it and put it in the building fund of Buffalo Ridge. I'm not against going. That's wonderful. I know it'd be a once in a lifetime. If you ever get a chance to go, I suppose you should. I'm not against there. I hope you get that. But what I am thinking about is all of the excitement, all of the anticipation about getting in there for a one-time event on a special Sunday in the calendar of America. And then I wonder about how on a Sunday, when we get to see the Word of God put forth in all these Sunday school classes out through here, and now as folks are up in children's church opening up the Word of God, telling young lives how they need to look to Jesus Christ because He's the only thing that saves, only one that saves, and the only thing that satisfies. How does that excitement compare to that? I see David, he had that personal emotion. I was glad when they said unto me, nobody had to be coaxed to go to that football game. You'd say, oh, pastor, I'd have to be coaxed to be around that many people, and I'd have to be coaxed to spend that much money on get around all those people. But nonetheless, you understand what I'm saying. It was a emotion, and that's what David had, a personal emotion. But I want you to see also in verse number 1, not only the personal emotion, but the combined effort. Because he says, let us, U.S., go in to the house of the Lord. Not only a personal emotion, oh, I was glad. But he said when they told us that, okay, it's time to go. Maybe they'd been out to battle. Maybe they'd been out away from Jerusalem. Maybe out from some other places. And they said, boy, it was good to get back into the house of the Lord. And you understand that I traveled last week and you travel on vacation and wonderful. But I have people tell me all the time, and I certainly attest to it, it's good to get back home. It's not only good to get back to home on 169 Victory Lane where I live, but it's good to get back to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I love it when I'm here. I like to hear people teach. I like to hear people preach. I don't even mind preaching myself. I like all of it. I like the fellowship, and I like the camaraderie. I like the encouragement, and once in a while I like the criticism, but I like it all being around here, and there's no place like this. And I think about this. They were glad, let us go in to the house of the Lord. I have 3 kids, as you know. One of them just got married. Allie, our youngest, she will be a senior this year at Cedar View. And we wanted all along, as God brought them in, and they've been blessings to us, each of them, we wanted them, when they leave our house, to look back and say, church was a good place to grow up. Now, everything that happens at church is not pleasant. I'm the pastor. I have to preach on hell once in a while. I'm the pastor. I have to preach on the fact that living certain ways brings trouble. That's just the way it goes. There's economies in God's word that have to be preached because I'm taxed with preaching the whole counsel of God. I can't just preach the good stuff and leave the unkind stuff, or not unkind, but the negative stuff there. One positive has to come a negative. So I'm not saying everything is good, everything's positive, everything's good for you. I have to preach it all. But I want, as our children, as your children, your grandchildren, as they grow up, I want them to look back and say, boy, church was a good place to grow up in. And I know that some of you challenged that because you had a horrendous experience, and for that, I'm sorry. I know that some of you have been through great heartache of churches, but as God has let me, I want to pray that He would continue to let us let church be a great place for kids to run and play and enjoy, and let teenagers grow up going to camp and having a good time, camaraderie with their friendships, because I see that there's this combined effort. Let us. Last week, when after Jared got married, I went to church at our home church, and I sat beside my sister on one side. Amy was on the other side. On the other side of Amy was her sister, and of course our girls, and then Angie's son and Angie's daughter, and Amy's brother was back. Well, one brother was preaching, but one brother was back behind us with his family. Another brother was back behind us with his family. It was good for family to be together in the house of the Lord. And I think about that when He says, let us go into the house of the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, speaking about that early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Can you imagine being in that early church when things were exploding and things were happening? That'd be exciting. Not only that, but it had been exciting in the late 1700s when the little church of this in its infancy was up by the cemetery there on Buffalo Ridge, and it would have been exciting. But I can't do that either. I can't go back to the early church. I can't go back to the 1700s to be at the early part of this church, but I can be here today. And I believe that one of these days, our grandkids, if Jesus tarries is coming, they'll be looking and say, boy, you were there at that church then. You're right. I was there. I was right in the thick of all of it. I was having a good time because I see that combined effort. But I'd be remiss if I don't give you this third one. Because up till now, it's been us. But I see that He was happy when they said to Him, let us go in to the house of the Lord. Not only is there that combined effort, but that's that holy element. You know what makes it special around here? You know what makes it special? Not only here, but around places where some group of people are willing to put the Bible and say that's what we're gathered around. It's the God of that book. It's the God of that book, that holy element. We've been talking about what you do and raising your family, bringing your spouse, doing all these things. But if the Holy One doesn't show up, then we're not having any kind of time that's worth speaking of. It's got to be the Lord. Years ago, a buddy of mine, we were at a conference, and I started looking around. People were waving their Bible, and they were standing up, and they were shouting. And I said, boy, they're not very reserved. And I started looking over this. Boy, he's not very either. And boy, this guy's not either. And I just was, I wasn't used to all that. And I thought, wow. I kept going long enough. I was the next one standing up and waving my Bible and shouting because it did seem like the Lord did something in my heart. I don't mind people lifting their hands. The Bible talks about raising holy hands. That's wonderful. Curtis Hudson, used to be the editor of the Sword of the Lord years ago. He said, I don't mind how high you jump. He was talking to a bunch of preachers in a conference. He said, I don't mind how high you jump as long as you speak English when you get back to the floor. And I'm seeing about this holy element, when the Lord gets in on what's going on. And oh, my friend, would you pray with me on a regular basis that this place would be a place that God would show up and He would work on the hearts of individuals. People tell me oftentimes at the back, say, Pastor, it was good to be here. Thank you. And they'll tell me the way that the Lord works in their heart. And you know what I want to do oftentimes? Scratch my head and say, did you hear this message I preached? Because I didn't preach on what you said the Lord did in your heart. But that's a blessing, because the Holy Spirit can take His word and minister to your heart in a totally different way than He ministers to somebody else's heart. And doesn't it have to be that way? Because how on earth could one little person up here say, oh, I know what the needs of everybody are. Number one, I would never know what the needs were. If I did know the needs, I wouldn't have a way to fulfill them. And if I did know the way to fulfill them, we wouldn't have enough time to do each one individually. But when I come to church, it's happened again and again. And I sit there, the Lord ministers to my heart. And when He shows up, it's always a blessed time. So I ask you to pray for me, pray for us rather. Pray that the Lord would continue to be pleased to dwell and see the Lord do a good work in this place. Because we looked at I was glad. We looked at us when they said, let us. But without Him, it's a useless endeavor. Without Him, then we're just doing some pretending, some playing around, or maybe getting polished up if you want to do that, just to be seen of men. And my friend, that's not worth the time that you put into it to get it accomplished. I was glad when they said unto me, so I want to ask you this question. Are you like the psalmist that says, I was glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go. Let's go to church, Mama. Let's go to church. I was glad when they said that. You know what this church has been built on, as I've mentioned again and again, this church has been built on sharing Jesus Christ. Now, there's so much other doctrines that need to be taught. And as I said, I'm responsible to give the whole counsel of God. You stay long enough, you got to hear it all. But the primary message is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, and coming again. And that's the message of this church. And that's why we have to realize that that's what needs to be shouted into everybody's life. Because if you're here today and you're a Christian, you do know the Lord is your Savior, then your desire is to have everybody else come to that same spot of conversion where they take Christ as their Savior from their sins. And if you're a Christian in this place today, may you continually pray, Lord, please do it again. Lord, please work in the lives and the hearts of everybody that's there. May you pray with me, pray with us, pray that the Lord would be pleased to meet amongst us. And then if you're here today and you know who Jesus is, we've just mentioned Him, but you've never received Him as your Savior to be the forgiver and the forgiver of your sins. Oh, you know about it. Maybe you've been to Sunday school, you've heard, you've done all these things. But you've never received Him for forgiveness of your sins into your own life. If you're here, my friend, that's what this church was built for. That's why we've had it for all these years, to continue on a regular basis telling folks about the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. You know, I mentioned from time to time that having the Lord in your life will make you a better family. Having the Lord in your life will make you a better wife or a better husband. Having Christ in your life will make you a better neighbor. Statistics prove that folks that are in church, they have easier times in life. And then the more they go, the more consistently they go, it helps more and more problems. But Christ didn't come to solve our problems. He came to save us from our sins. Those are all just fringe benefits. Those are side byproducts. But what He really did was come so that you and I could go spend eternity in heaven with Him forever. And that, I believe, is what makes this a special place. You see, we could take all these pews out. We could sell them, sell this building, and they use this as a dance hall. We could take that gym over there. Instead of using it for fellowship, somebody could take it and make it some kind of concert venue. We're not going to do it. But this building could have been used for lots of stuff, but it's not. It was set apart, sanctified. That's what set apart means, just sanctified, to be a gospel-proclaiming station. So all the money that's been given, all of the repairs that have been done, all the buildings and the remodels and the paving and all of the things, the utilities get paid, all of it to set aside a place that Jesus Christ could be lifted up. Because He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so this place is a special place. You all say, Pastor, that's you're saying that because you're the pastor. No, I would have said it long before I was the pastor. And I, like David, want to be one that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in to the house of the Lord. Let me just thank you for having your family in church on a Sunday. You say, Pastor, it's not much of a family, just me. Let me thank you for being faithful and following the Lord. I don't think this is the only church that's right. I think it's one of them that's right. If it wasn't right in some area, we'd try to change it. I believe it's one of them is right. I believe it's a great place. And I want to be like David. I get giddy. I get giddy when I get to set my feet inside the gates of Jerusalem there. I'm excited. I get to see that temple over there. I can't wait to get over there. When good things happen in that temple, good things happen outside the temple. When good things are happening in Jerusalem, the whole country seems to be blessed. When we get in there and we start worshiping the Lord, it makes our whole life a little better. And when we get into Buffalo Ridge, when we get around the Word of God, when we get around the people of God, we get to sing the songs of God. We get to read the book of God. We get to have the fellowship from God's people. We are blessed. And I'm thankful that we can say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in to the house of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for the time to be back in this house. Lord, I pray that you would bless. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for this wonderful place over these many years. Now, Lord, I'm asking you just to continue to dwell amongst us. If David could get excited about his feet standing within the gates of Jerusalem, I believe I could get excited when I pull in the parking lot. If David was excited to be in the house of the Lord, I think I could be excited when I come inside this auditorium, this sanctuary. If David was excited about singing the songs and the hymns of Zion, the psalm that we just referenced, I believe I could be excited when my daughter gets in the youth group and they sing and they have a good time. And Lord, thank you for your church. Lord, I pray if there's somebody that needs to do business with you, I pray they would. And I pray if there's somebody that needs to be saved, I pray they would be. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If not, sit there in your seat. That's just fine. But I'm going to ask everybody in this room to do something. Oh, I don't need you to come forward. I invite you to come forward. You're certainly welcome to. But if you're a believer in this room, I challenge you to do some thinking. How's my thought toward the house of God? You say, Pastor, I've had some bad experience in my past. I'm so sorry about that. Pastor, I've had some things that are unfortunate. I apologize. But there's a group of people that love the Lord, served Him for years, that are trying to make this place a wonderful place, blessed of God, asking Him to come, inviting His presence into what we do. Oh, my friend, I'm challenging you as a believer to share your thoughts with the Lord and pray with me for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that it would be that place that people could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, we can't take you. All we can do is point you to Jesus Christ. He's the one that said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Step out and let me or somebody just take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven's your home. Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized and you'd like to present yourself for that. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. The Lord's already indicated in your life, in your heart, that you should. I challenge you to step out and present yourself for that. I'll have them just play another verse and we'll be done. As they play, thank you, may look this way. And I was thinking about Brother Bob Daniels. Bob and Sheila are back there. We won't greet them all, but we don't want to have everybody shake hands with him. He's still trying to stay away from a lot of germs and things, but it was good to see him here. And I know I didn't have to ask him, but he was glad when he said, well, I can go to church today. And I meet so many folks in nursing homes and different facilities. They say, Preacher, I'd sure love to be there. And I'm not a very big guilt trip person. So I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. But I'm just challenging all of us, while we've got our health, whatever level it is, while we've got the ability, let's just make a habit of being in church. And you say, well, I'm already here. I know, that's what I'm saying. And I'm thanking. That's why it's easy to tell you right now. Let's make a habit of being in church. What a joy. It's just a thrill. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, we've got a special treat for you. Brother Daniel is, you can be seated if you will, and it's about 10 till noon. And Brother Daniel is going to baptize Samuel, their oldest son. And Samuel trusted Christ as Savior, and he's been on to his dad and mom, let him get baptized. And so he's a blessing, him and Micaiah and Gabriel. And so we thank God for the Wakefields, how much of a blessing they are, so many different things that Brother Daniel does. And we thank God for that. And we're just going to see. He'll be up there in just a little bit. It's amazing how much time he's taken now. Last week he didn't take much time at all, but I guess he's taken extra special care on this one. And we were blessed last week to have several get baptized. The Armstrong family was what a joy. And today to see Samuel. It's wonderful to see their young people as they're out and about around the church, and we thank God for that.
We are thankful to be in here today, and thankful for what God has been doing in our family. And the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, Samuel, you can come in here. And last August, Samuel talked with me in our apartment. I had the privilege to sit down with him and sit on the couch and just explain the gospel to him and make sure everything was clear and everything was understood. And he looked at me and he said he was ready. He understood what we were talking about, and he believed he needed to ask Jesus Christ to be his Savior. And so it's a special blessing to me, obviously, to be able to have been there when he prayed to receive Christ, and then to be able to baptize him. And so, Samuel, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him in death, raised to walk in newness of life.
What a joy to see young people follow Christ in believers' baptism and see him be saved. And we're thankful for that. Well, it's been a joy to be in God's house today, and I thank each one of you for being here. I'm going to make my way to the back, and if you need to buy one of the Bible study books, Allie, my daughter, will be back there. If you want to buy one of the CDs, you're welcome to those. I feel like a traveling salesman, but none of them help, none of them benefit me, I don't think. So, but if you want to do that, Allie can help you with that. So thank you for being here. Would you stand together? I'm going to ask Brother Josh Smith, if you don't mind, to come on up here to the platform and dismiss us in prayer. Appreciate he and his family, and a great blessing to Amy and I, and we're thankful for him trying to raise Emmett to love the Lord as well. And he's a challenge sometimes, isn't he?
That's the Lord working patience in my life.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for a church that we're able to come to, Lord, each and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and openly worship you, Lord. A lot of places in the world that don't have that. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for what he means to us. Lord, I thank you that you sent him to die for our sins. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for our church family, our pastor, and all the ministries here. And Lord, I pray you continue to bless it. Help us to keep our focus on you and keep you high and lifted up. And we thank you for everything you've done and going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.